Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day. We thank you for the time that we get to come together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you have shown us. We just ask that you be with us again this evening. Let your word speak to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first off, I would like to say thank you for spending the last 6 Wednesdays listening to me. But I've enjoyed it. I hope that you have. I hope that you've gained something from it that you can take with you. And we have looked at how today's society looks at and treats the name of God. They don't respect it. And then we've looked at the 16 different names of God. So tonight, we are going to look at, what should we do with this? What should we do with all this information that we've gained, all the things that we've looked at, all of the different attributes of God that we've looked at? What should we do with it? How should we treat it? How should we act towards it? I would like for you to turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. And they brought in the ark of God, and they placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Jeiel, then Shemarmoth, Jehiel, Mathiah, Elab, Benani, Obed-Edom, and Jael, with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals, and Benai and Jahaziel, the priests, blew trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. The call to praise. The call to praise. The shofar. How do we treat the name of God? How do we treat everything that we've looked at, all of the different attributes, everything that he has done for us? How do we do, what do we do with this?
You were saying?
I need to. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought you actually did that on purpose, so the trumpets were blazing.
We did.
Oh, okay. That's my ringtone. That's my ringtone on my work phone. So whenever my phone rings, the shofar goes off. So anyway, first off, what I'd like for us to look at is that we need to know his name, which is the reason why we've had this class, which is the reason why we looked at all of these attributes. This word know in the Hebrew comes from the word yada, which means to know, to clearly understand, to have a relationship, an intimate friend. Also means to teach. So to know the name of God. Go to turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of troubles. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. To know his name means that we understand, clearly understand. We have a relationship with him. When we know him, when we know his name, he will not forsake those who seek you. God's not going to turn his back on us when we seek him. When we seek him to know him, to understand who he is. And we can see this again in Philippians, all the way over in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 8. Starting in verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, Philippians. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know him, that I may have that clear understanding of what it means to have an intimate friend, and that I can teach others what it means to know him. That's what it means to know the name of God. Isaiah 52, we read this before, but I want to read it again. Isaiah 52. I had it marked in my Jewish Bible and I forgot to bring it with me. So, Isaiah 52, starting in verse 1. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? Again the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. That my people shall know my name. How many people that say that they are born again believers, how many people that go to this church, to go to any church that is teaching the truth, actually know the attributes in the name of God? Probably not very many. Because we take it for granted. We take it for granted. God, Lord, Jesus. And that's all we know. But whenever we looked at the attributes of God, when we looked at Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Mekadesh, when we looked at all of these names and we learned more about the attributes of God, we drew closer and closer to him, because the more you know about someone, the closer you can get to him. If I have someone that I say, yes, I know that person, and they're an acquaintance, and all I know is just knowing their name, I do not know that person. But if I know someone and I say, yes, I know him, and we spend time together and we go to their house to eat, they come to our house to eat, we have Bible studies, we fellowship, we talk, and we learn about their lives. We learn about where they came from, where they grew up. We know them. We have that relationship. And that's what God is saying here. That's what he's telling us. Therefore, my people shall know my name. They shall learn who I am. They shall have that fellowship, have that relationship, clearly understand. That's one of the very first things that we need to do. We need to know the name of our God. The next thing that we need to do, or the next thing that we should do, is we need to boast in his name. or tell of his name, boast of his name. This word for boast comes from the Hebrew word zakar, which means to remember, to bring to mind, to confess, to consider, to make mention, extol, to make mention, to confess, to consider, think about it, to boast in it. Psalms 20:7 says, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Do you ever talk about your car? I do. You ever talk about all the things that you've done, the places that you go, your grandkids, your kids? We talk about those things and we boast about them. We tell about them. We bring it to mind. We confess it. We make mention of it. We talk about it at work. We talk about football. We talk about baseball. We talk about NCAA, college hoops, March Madness. We talk about those things. But do we boast about our God? Do we talk about our God? But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. That's what Psalm 20:7 says. And then we can turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that you were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Nothing that I have done has earned my right to be called a child of God. It's because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his sacrifice, because of what he's done. And whenever people see me, or if they learn that I'm a Christian and they understand what that means and they understand that he's a child of God, okay, and I need to boast about the fact that it is because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of me. I know where I was. I know what I come from, and I fall. We all do. But we are made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what we need to boast in. Where does this come from? Where let him who boasts boast in the Lord? Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. I delight in what things? I delight in what things? That he understands and knows me, that he boasts because he boasts of this, that he understands and knows me. And knows me, that we express in the fact that our God is loving kindness, his justice, his righteousness. And when we do, when we boast of our God, when we boast of his name, when we tell people about who he is, I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So we need to boast and tell of his name. The next thing that we need to do, we need to exalt his name or give glory due his name. This word exalt comes from the Hebrew word rum. To be high or exalted, to rise, to display higher, to lift it up, make it on high, raise it up, set it apart, make it taller, make it to where it can be seen above everything else. We need to exalt his name. Turn to Psalm 34. If you want to put a marker in Psalm, we're going to be back and forth in Psalms quite a bit. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. It says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Sometimes there's things that happen in our lives and in our jobs and in the things that are going on around us that cause us to get down, to cause us to be a little bit depressed. Even whenever we get up in the morning and we study the Bible and we're reading the Bible, we still can get depressed. And you know what? This happened to me this morning, I'm confessing. And I just started singing praise songs on the way to work. I just started singing praise songs on the way to work. And by the time I got to work, and then my lovely wife called me, I was better. I was better. Why? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And when you do, it changes your whole outlook. When you're exalting the Lord, when you're making his name known, when you're giving glory to him. Turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 3. But let the righteous be glad, let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. Lift up his name, sing praises, exalt the Lord our God. Isaiah 25 and 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing that was to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Exalt him. Exalt him, and it will encourage you. Exalt him, and it will give you strength to go on. It will give you strength to keep doing the things that you're doing, even whenever you feel like you can't. We exalt God. We exalt his name and give him glory. The next thing that we need to do is we need to give thanks to his name. We need to praise or sing praise to his name. Did you know that the Hebrew word for praise, there's four different words that are used? One of them is hallah, which means to be boastful, to praise. In other words, zamar, to make music in praise. And then yada, to throw, to cast, confess, give thanks, glorify. And then tehillah, song of praise, which is the Hebrew word for psalm. To praise God, to give him praise. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Starting in verse 1. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praise to you. They will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the Son of Man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. They will sing praise to your name. I usher over on the southwest corner. I'm amazed by the amount of people that don't go in and praise. They stand out and they stay out there. And I don't understand that. And the reason why I don't understand that, well, one of the reasons is I love music. I love music. I love to sing. I love to. But then to be able to sing praises to God, to be able to glorify him and to lift up his name with all these other believers, and we need to have that mindset. We need to understand what that means, to praise him. God is pleased with those. He delights in that whenever we give him praise. He delights in it whenever we exalt his name, when we glorify him through song. Why do you think that David established this for all of these people to play this music, to play the cymbals, to sound the shofar continuously and to sing? Because God delights in those things. Psalm 69, starting in verse 29. Now listen to this, the way that this starts out right here. I am afflicted and in pain. I'm afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble shall see it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Even when I'm afflicted and in pain, I will praise and sing songs to God. I will glorify God. And whenever there are other people that are around and they see this and they understand and they go, wait a second. They've got this going on in their life. They've got this happening in their life. This person passed away. That person moved away. This and that, this and that. And yet they're still here praising and singing praise to God. What did that say? The humble have seen it and are glad. It will encourage other believers whenever they see us praising and singing, glorifying God, no matter what's happening in our lives. And they'll understand the steadfastness that's needed to glorify him, to understand who he is. And then we turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who are so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For if the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering... Where did you go? Yeah, I'm on the right page. I'm sorry. I lost my spot. And burned outside the camp, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. No matter what happening in our life, whenever we take the time and say, I am going to praise God. I am going to glorify God. I'm going to sing praises to him. I'm going to keep my mind focused on him and the things that he's done for me in my life. The fact that he gave his son so that I can be a child of God. He sacrificed everything just so that I could be with him. And I need to praise him for that. And even if it is a sacrifice, and even if it is hard to do, that is one of the things that God is pleased with. Because then he knows and he understands they're putting me before themselves. And that's what he desires. He doesn't want the blood of oxes and bulls and, oh, and I prayed the Ten Commandments and I do this and I do that. He wants our heart. He wants our heart. And when you praise and you're focused on God and you praise him and you glorify him and you sing to him, you are giving him yourself. And that's what he desires. The next thing that we need to do, we need to rejoice in his name. I thought this was really interesting. You know what the Hebrew word for rejoice is? Gil, G-I-L, to rejoice, to cry, exult, be glad. So we are to rejoice in his name. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, starting in verse 15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day. And by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. And by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord. And our king to the Holy One of Israel. In your name they rejoice all day. And this goes back to it saying it doesn't matter what's happening in our lives. Go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. If you don't know where Habakkuk is, it's right in front of Nahum and between Zephaniah. Habakkuk. It's five books before Matthew. Habakkuk, chapter 3. Verse 17, I think maybe I need to write this one out and put it on my visor or something on my truck so that I see it every morning.
New or Old Testament?
Old Testament. Old Testament, Habakkuk, five books before Matthew. Verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on high places. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. It doesn't matter that we are getting taxed, an additional tax. It doesn't matter who the mayor is. It doesn't matter. What matters is I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And then we can turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Starting in verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord every once in a while. No.
Get that off the tape.
I missed that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You see that? He's saying it twice. He's telling you to rejoice always. And then he says, again, rejoice. He's trying to make an impact. He's trying to make a statement here to where you understand this is something that we should do. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, you know, I just don't know what God's will is for me. Wait a second, what did it say? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To draw us closer to Him, to understand Him, rejoice in Him. The next thing that we're going to look at that we need to do, or an action that we need to have towards the name of God, is a tough one. And most people don't want to do it. And it's really difficult to do because He is such a loving God. But we need to understand what this word means. And this word, the Hebrew word, is yare. Y-A-R-E. This means to fear. Be afraid, revere, reverence, stand in awe. In Greek, it's phobio, to put to flight, to terrify, awestruck, respect, intimidation, reverence, a sense of awe. Do we truly have a sense of awe about who our God is? Do we truly understand and revere Him because of what He's done? He created the universe. He breathed out, and the mist and the from His breath became all of the stars. He weighed out the mountains in a scale, the oceans in the palm of His hand. And we don't stand in awe of that? Turn to Psalm 86. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I'm not trying to make anyone feel condemned. What we need to do is we need to understand who our God is. I need to understand more about who our God is, so that I will revere, so that I will exalt, so that I will lift up our God and understand what it means to be awestruck because of him. Psalm 86, starting in verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness towards me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. You saved me from going to hell. You saved me from an eternal hell. And I will glorify your name forever. I will stand in awe of the fact that you would do something like that for me. I know me. I know the deepest parts of me. I know the parts that are inside that I don't want anyone else to know. And you're all the same. And if we're not, then we're deceiving ourselves. But God, through his awesomeness and because of who he is and what he's done, delivered me from the depths of hell. And I will glorify his name forever because of that. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, starting in verse 6. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? The voice of the Lord will call to the city, and it is sound wisdom to fear your name. It is sound wisdom to fear your name. And to stand in awe of him, to understand who he is, and we can't if we don't know him. And we know him by searching through his word, by giving our hearts to him, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is how we know him. This is how we understand what this all means, what it all comes together for. Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, said the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. We will rejoice in the presence of our God whenever he shows, whenever he comes and gathers us home. This is our God. This is our Savior. Matthew 10 and 28 says, do not fear those who will kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And Philippians 2:2 says, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And then let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. To turn your back on Jesus Christ, to say that it was unnecessary, to say that it was a fairy tale, to say that it's not truth, that it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Job 13 and 11 says, "Will not his majesty terrify you and the dread of him following you?" You know, we've looked at all of these things. We've looked at all of the names, the 16 names in the Old Testament. We haven't even touched the names that Jesus is called, and we don't even have time. Well, we do, but I don't know. Maybe the Lord will let us do that. I don't know. But through all of this, and learning about how we should treat, what we should do, how we should act towards his name, the one thing that stands out, turn to Acts chapter 4.
Acts what?
Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. The one thing that we have seen over and over and over again. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is a stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which stone became the chief cornerstone, and there is salvation in none else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men which we must be saved." It's through him, it's by him, it's for him, and it's because of him. And that's it. There's nothing else. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified that has allowed us to enter into the presence of an almighty God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul from hell." And then as we look through all of this, and I was reading in the psalm, and this one psalm, it seemed to just have all of it together. And it's Psalm 96. Psalm 96. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, 'The Lord reigns.' Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all it contains, Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Behold, before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. That psalm is just, that is really a really good psalm. And it's just, wow. Sing, bless, proclaim, give glory to, tell of his deeds, boast in him, fear him. All of those things are in that psalm that we just read. And it's all because of our God. And then in conclusion, this is the last scripture I'm going to read. I know I read a lot of scriptures. You know what? The Word of God will teach itself when we let it. This is our God. This is our Savior. This is the one that gave himself for us. And this is his name. And we need to go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Starting in verse 5. A voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given for her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written: King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior, your Savior. Boast, rejoice, praise, glorify, edify, lift up, proclaim your Savior. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you have written to us in your word. We thank you for showing us who you are through your word. We thank you for giving us just a glimpse of what it's going to be. Our minds can't comprehend, and we can't really understand and fathom the glory that we're going to see whenever we see you. Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we go through our lives. Be with us these next days, weeks, months. And let these words come back to us. Let these words speak to our hearts and our minds to help us to become more and more faithful, to help us to be more of a testimony of your goodness. Lord, we just ask for your grace and your mercy to continue. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.